like helping people get their finances in order? Maybe you have a gift for numbers. Well, there's good news straight ahead. Hi, I'm Rob West. A while back, we broke the news about a whole new career field that's opening up, the Christian Financial Planner. Kurt Kornfield is here today to give us an update, so you don't want to miss that. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we've been looking forward to having my friend Kurt Kornfield back with us to find out more about this exciting program. Kurt is Associate Professor of Financial Planning at Liberty University. He's also a certified financial planner and a certified Kingdom Advisor. Kurt, great to have you back.
Oh, I love being on this show, Rob, so thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Kurt, when you were on with us in June, you unveiled this new Christian Financial Planner program. But for folks who may not have heard that, what is this program and how does it work?
Yeah, so there's about seven universities right now, Christian universities in this country that have offered CFP, which stands for Certified Financial Planner Programs. And in that course curriculum, the main five areas they cover is estate planning, investments, tax planning, retirement planning, and insurance planning. And so students get well trained on the basics of what it means to help people holistically with their financial plans. But what's been really cool is the Christian universities, these seven at least that we've mentioned before, are adding the CKA, the Certified Kingdom Advisor content, which means that from a behavioral finance perspective, the students that get trained are learning what the Bible says about money and finances. And that's really been the most exciting part about what's going on.
Well, it really is, because as we said in the opener, this is now a whole new career track for students going into college. But as they graduate, ready to sit for the CFP and the CKA, they're ready to enter financial services, specifically aligning their work with the work of a certified Kingdom Advisor who really is bringing their faith into their practice. So give us an update. I know you're talking to a lot of the professors around the country who are running these programs. You're, of course, boots on the ground with your students there at Liberty. How's it going?
Well, what's really cool, as I was looking back, we just finished our 13th year, but before 13 years ago, there was zero programs in this country that were doing what we're doing. Out of about 110 universities that were then offering CFP, there's now 146 universities in the country that offer CFP, but somewhere around 15, 16 of those are actually Christian universities now. So it's 10% of the schools are actually Christian universities. So that in itself is amazing. In 13 years, we've been able to go from 0 to 10% of all schools offering this CFP curriculum. So I'm just excited that we were kind of the first to break the ice. And since then, there's been lots of universities that have decided to adopt these programs.
That's great. And what are you seeing? I mean, I know you're interacting with these students every day. As they catch a vision, Kurt, for their opportunity to bring their faith with them into their career track, post-undergraduate degree, what are they experiencing?
Yeah, so your organization, well, Kingdom Advisors has helped us a lot because our relationship with Kingdom Advisors right from the beginning has been what really makes it different. And so when we expose them first to the biblical content, but then to just the Kingdom Advisor organization. So they get to meet really cool people at the Kingdom Advisor Conference throughout the year. They try to meet lots of these people, when they go visit these various workplaces where these Kingdom Advisors exist. And they really kind of capture their ability to integrate their faith into their lives 24/7. Because what I know about young people today, Christian young people, because that's mainly what I get to work with, is they really want to integrate their faith into their lives, and they don't just want to do it on Sundays. And so there are professions, of course, full-time Christian workers and so on, where they can do that. But this is one where they can do that and still make a pretty good living. And so we don't like to apologize for that, but it is fun that they get to serve others but still provide for their own families as well.
It's really exciting. Well, there's a lot more for us to talk about with Kurt Kornfield today. He's Associate Professor of Financial Planning at Liberty University. When we come back, we'll talk about the development path for a student coming out of one of these programs and entering financial services. If you'd like to see a list of these schools that Kurt described, you can do that at kingdomadvisors.com. Click the industry tab and then universities. Much more to come with Kurt Kornfield just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Remember these lyrics? Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. A classic song with a heartfelt message, enough hatred and enough fighting. Let's be people of peace. And it's a good message. We could all stand to be more loving and caring to those around us, but we also can't lose sight of what Jesus said while he walked the earth. In Matthew 10:34, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." He wasn't calling for war. He was calling for decisions. His gospel divides the world like a sword. We are restless, striving until we find Christ. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Take a time out in the corner.
Refuse to allow anything, whether they be relationships, whether they be friends and family members, whether they be a Supreme Court refusing to hear a case, whether they be any election results, no matter what it is, refuse to allow those things to eclipse the preeminence of Christ in your life.
The Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on AFR. The podcast is available anytime at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Joining me today, my good friend Kurt Kornfield, certified financial planner, certified kingdom advisor, and associate professor of financial planning at Liberty University. Just before the break, we were talking about this exciting career path that now exists for students getting an undergraduate degree in financial planning, taking the CFP, the Certified Financial Planner educational track, and the Certified Kingdom Advisor, so they're ready to enter financial services coming out of college and bring their faith with them, which is so exciting. And Kurt, many of our listeners are parents of those prospective students, and they want to know there's a job waiting for them when they graduate. And the really cool thing is there is, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the one thing that's so much fun for me, because I love helping kids get jobs. And virtually since 2015, 100% of our graduates have jobs. And not to brag, but the truth is they could have multiple jobs. And so it's employers are really very competitive, and they want to come after these students. But these are some of the best students, and they're rightfully getting hired.
Yeah, that's great. Well, talk about that development path. What does it look like for someone entering the financial advising industry? And then let's put this overlay of somebody who's also prepared with the CKA education.
Yeah, having been in the trenches now for 13, 14 years doing this with college kids, you know, we're seeing this progression of what are their real needs, not just the kids that go into this as a profession, but now the students that go into other professions. You know, often, you know, sometimes they have financial messes. You know, they get themselves into too much school debt. And those kids need counseling. You know, they just need help kind of getting over that debt hump. And sure. Then there's others that don't have the financial debt burdens, but they're just starting out and they need what I would call basic coaching. They just need to be pointed in the right direction. Now, once someone is a certified financial planner, they can give more holistic advice. And so we're seeing the need for students to kind of go into all of these areas, both the counseling, the coaching, the planning area. And so it's been fun to see that that's also percolating out of these universities. It's not just financial planners, but we have these counselors and coaches that are available to help all Christians, not just the students.
Oh, that's great. Let's dive into that coaching aspect a little bit more. Some of the schools, including Liberty, that we're talking about today, actually offer peer coaching programs. I love this. Tell us what that entails.
Yeah, we're going to have 27 of our students this coming year that will actually get trained. We train them for several days to serve their fellow students. But the main point that we train them with is what does the Bible say about money and finances? So when they help their fellow students with budgeting, debt management, and a little investment education, they do that all with a biblical worldview, which is really cool. And we're not the only university doing this. This is prevalent now in many of these Christian universities. I know Biola out on the West Coast has been a leader, Calvin College in Michigan, and IWU in Indiana, and Charleston Southern in South Carolina. They've all had these peer coaching programs now for at least a half a dozen years or more, and it's really impacting their whole campuses, which is exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And Kurt, as you said, there's 9 programs now that are offering CFP and CKA. Many of those have these peer counseling programs. And if you want to get a list of each of these programs, including how you can learn more about the program at that university, just go to kingdomadvisors.com. You'll click the industry leader tab at the top of the page and then universities. And that will give you a list of every university, the professor over the program, and a button to actually take a look at the program itself. Again, it's all there at kingdomadvisors.com. But we're just getting started, Kurt. I know your passion is to see more and more Christian universities actually deploying these types of programs, right?
Yeah, we know there's, you know, well over 100 Christian universities in this country. And so obviously there's still room for, you know, everybody to be doing this. And so I'd like to challenge your listeners, because I know you have a great group of listeners, that if they're near one of these Christian universities, especially if they're already trained as a financial advisor, especially when they understand the biblical worldview, let's partner up with these universities, make sure they're offering personal finance classes from a biblical worldview, and then if it's possible for them to also consider these peer coaching programs and these CFP programs, all of those things are happening. And I want Christian schools to kind of take over this industry. You know, if we're up to 10% now, you know, why not? Let's get to 50% of these schools being Christian schools offering CFP. I think we can own this space and really have a lot more Christians in the business. And it's at all these various levels.
That's great. What would you say to a parent who wants to be able to describe this opportunity to their high schooler, who perhaps they've identified an interest or a competency in this whole area of finance or financial management? What would you say to them about the opportunity on one of these tracks pursuing CFP and CKA?
Yeah, I usually first point out that there's still some confusion in the industry, because 40 years ago when I started, pretty much everybody that came into the industry was a salesperson, and because we were in a commission-based transactional world. But that, over the 40 years that I've been around this, that's changed drastically, and We're more relational now, and most advisors charge fees, not commissions. And that has changed the conversation, and it changes the career path for young people because they don't have to be salespeople. Because if we tell them they have to be salespeople, that usually scares them away. So I first have to remind the parents and the kids that these are not sales jobs. These are service jobs. We get to serve people holistically. Yeah. And once they understand that, they start to see, you mean I can talk to people about my faith and I can talk to people about what the Bible says about money and finances, whether I work with Christian clients or not? And the answer is yes. And once that light bulb goes off, you know, even the parents and the kids get excited about the career possibilities.
That's great. Now, I did hear a little secret, Kurt, that if you're a student in one of your programs there at Liberty, it's actually a requirement to listen to this broadcast every day. Is that right?
Well, I teach personal finance, and then I also teach these financial planning courses. And yes, I do make them listen to your program. But part of it is I want them to just start listening to, you know, you and what the Bible says about money and finances. I love the fact that when you answer questions, you always answer it from a biblical worldview. And I want all students, not just the ones that are going to go into this as a career path, to kind of get that in their hearts and minds when they start out on this front end. I don't want them to be like most of us Christians, me included, where that light bulb didn't go off until I was about 50, you know, where I realized, hey, I should be paying attention to what the Bible says about money and finances and everything I do. And we're trying to train these kids right from the beginning now. And your program, you know, makes my job easy.
Kurt, we have just about 30 seconds left. I'm sure it's incredibly rewarding for you to see your former students now in financial services on mission for Jesus, isn't it?
You know that for a fact, because obviously you've met some of my former students and you get to hear their stories. And yeah, it's God has put me in a unique place here at a unique university, and I'm just so grateful. And I would like to challenge. There's a lot of other people, you know, maybe in the second half of their career and their lives, and they're just thinking about how they can, you know, give back in a different way. We need, you know, more people doing what I'm doing. You know, these universities, if they have one problem, it's they can't find enough people to serve these classes that they need. So let's challenge some people to come into this career path.
I love it. Kurt, thanks for stopping by today, my friend.
You're welcome, Rob. Love being here.
That's Kurt Kornfield, Associate Professor of Financial Planning at Liberty University. To find out more about his program and the other eight universities offering CFP and CKA, go to kingdomadvisors.com. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Sometimes it can be hard to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at afr.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already November.
As this year comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and I'm ready to go. It's time for your calls and questions today on anything financial. Let's head to Miramar, Florida. Ariel, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am a Christian. I'm retired, and I would like to know if I should pay tithes from my Social Security that I get.
Very good. Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a couple of ways to address this here, Ariel. First of all, we have to recognize that the tithe is an Old Testament idea that was a part of the Mosaic law, and it was really based on your increase. Now, there was actually three tithes that totaled 23 1/3%, but the word tithe means a tenth, and it was a way to give off of the increase as the Lord prospered them on their harvest. And they would bring that, at least one of the tithes, to the temple. And we would most often associate that with a gift of a systematic gift on the increase to our local church, God's plan A. Now, we're a part of the law of Christ because the Mosaic law was replaced when Jesus enters the scene, but he often raised the bar just in just about every situation. And I would say that includes this area of giving. Now, New Testament giving is about giving freely. It's about giving proportionately as God has prospered you. It's about giving cheerfully, recognizing God is our provider. And those of us who have seen what he's done for us on our behalf on the cross, as he paid the penalty for our sin, out of gratitude, one of the ways that we can worship him is through our generosity, through our giving, which is simply returning a portion of what he's entrusted to us back to him. Now, using the principle of the tithe, a gift, a systematic gift, a tenth on our increase, I think is a great place to start. My friend Randy Alcorn calls that the training wheels of giving. So if you wanted to apply the principle of the tithe to your Social Security, you would have to say, what portion of this is my increase? Now, it gets a little complicated with your Social Security because, as you know, if you've been tithing on your gross income while you were working, you've, in a sense, already you've already tithed on a portion of this money that's coming back to you in the form of a monthly check as your Social Security benefit. Through your FICA taxes, you paid into Social Security, and then at some point, you start claiming those benefits, and they start sending you a monthly check. Now, some portion of this check you get every month is a return of what you've already paid in, and then a portion would be considered the gain or the increase. So you've really got two ways to approach this, Ariel, if you want to give a tithe on your Social Security. The first is to say, listen, everything I receive is a gracious gift from God. And so I'm just going to give systematically on everything I get, my wages, my Social Security check, an inheritance, an annuity payment, a distribution I take from my investments. I'm going to see it all as a gift from the Lord, and I'm just going to give a tenth back to my local church as my tithe. The other approach you could take is a little more technical, and this goes back to this idea that a portion of what you're receiving is a return of what you've already paid in through your FICA taxes. So how would you approach that? Well, here's the way you could approach it. Your Social Security benefit statement will tell you all that you've paid into Social Security during your working years. And what you could do is you could say, okay, if I take my monthly benefit check times the number of years of my life expectancy, which once you reach age 65, your life expectancy as a woman in the United States is 86. So you could say, let's say you started taking your benefits at 66. You could say over the next 20 years, here's how much I'm going to receive back from Social Security if I collect this same check for the next 20 years. And you could compare that to what you paid into the system and determine what portion of that is being returned to you from what you've already contributed and what portion would be the profit. And then that portion that is the profit or the increase is what you would pay the tithe on. And you could establish a percentage. Perhaps 70% of what you're getting every month is just returning to you what you've already paid in to Social Security. And 30%, let's say, is beyond that. And then you would just give a tithe on 30% of your Social Security check. Now, I realize that may be way too complicated, but I'm just trying to help you think through an approach to this. Does that happen to make sense, Ariel?
Yes, it does make sense, but God bless you for your brains to be working this out, and I'm just listening, and I can't figure it out. But just tell me, what should I give, you know, should I just give something or every month from it? Or
At the end of the day, I think that's, first of all, that's between you and the Lord, so I can't tell you how much to give. But what I can tell you is the Lord sees your heart, and he knows you want to honor him, and so I would give something systematically. What that amount is totally up to you. And as long as you give with a cheerful heart, with the right attitude, and as an act of worship, I believe that's a gift that God will honor the Lord. Whether that's a full tenth of that Social Security check every month or some percentage that's less than that, I think that's between you and the Lord. But I would give something regularly.
Yes, yes, because I really feel a bit guilty because I'm not working no more and I'm getting my Social Security, and I'm like, what should I pay out of it? And what, you know, and then if I don't give anything, I just feel giddy, like I'm not doing what I should do for the Lord. I just really wanted your input, and I think I will definitely do what you say, give something substantial from it, what the Lord blessed me with. And I thank you for your advice.
Well, you're welcome, Ariel. I'm confident that what you just described will please the Lord, because you're trying to honor him and be found faithful in what he's given to you. Clearly, you're acknowledging his provision in your life, his blessing in your life, and you're wanting to give back. And that's great, because every time you give, it's a demonstration of your trust in the Lord, your understanding that he is your provider. And that's why you don't hold it with a tight fist, because you know he'll continue to provide for you. And so that allows you to be freed up to give. And here's the big part. It's the joy that follows, not the guilt, but the joy where you can participate in God's work. It's a real blessing that he gives us. Thanks for your call today. We'll be right back. Ed, coming your way after the break. Stay with us.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985, 800-557-1985.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Dr. Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Most Christians only know the Bible at a surface level. We believe it, but do we really know it? I want to invite you to join the Wesley Institute presented by Wesley Biblical Seminary. The Institute's a 9-month program that will give you an in-depth understanding of all 66 books of the Bible taught by seminary professors. You can join live from anywhere in the world or watch the class videos on your own schedule. To learn more, visit wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
Oh, we use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, do you find some value in this program? Maybe you listen regularly, you've found something that's been an encouragement to you, or you've been able to apply something directly in your financial life. In any case, if you'd like to support the work of Faith and Finance, we'd certainly be grateful, especially as we're into the fourth quarter. That is the final stretch before year end. This is a crucial time for us in terms of our listener giving. That's why we rely on your financial support to bring you this program each day and all of the many offerings from FaithFi. If you'd make a gift of any amount, we'd certainly be grateful, especially now. Just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com and click the give button, and you can give quickly and securely. Faithfi.com. Just click give. Let's go to Cleveland. Ed, you've been very patient. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, Rob. Greetings and salutations to you. We've spoken a couple of times in the past.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is just tell you quickly, I just bought a brand new car, a 2024, and I was going to finance it. There's no trade-in or anything like that. I was going to finance it through my credit union, so they did a credit check and whatnot. Long story short, I just decided to pay cash. In other words, I wrote a personal check and bought the car. You know what I mean? I know that's not too rare, but God's been good to me. But
that's great.
I keep getting these emails that say a hard credit check was done on you. It's a warning and whatnot. So people have been telling me that when they run a credit report for you, that has a detrimental effect on your credit rating. And my question is, why would that be?
Yeah, it's a great question. So just to bring some terminology to bear, you mentioned the hard credit inquiry. That's when you authorize a lender to check your credit for the purposes of determining whether or not they'll extend you credit. A soft inquiry is what you would initiate on your own. So you could go to Credit Karma. Many credit card companies now offer free credit scores to their cardholders. So if you go and get your own credit just for the purpose of knowing what your credit score is or checking your credit file, that's a soft inquiry and that's not going to have an effect on you. But you're right, that hard inquiry where you authorized a lender, in this case a car dealership, to check your credit because you were considering financing, that does temporarily pull your score down. Now, 2 points there. Number one is all hard inquiries in a 2-week period for the same type of loan, in this case a car loan, would be treated as one. So that does give you the freedom, and I know you chose to pay cash, so that doesn't apply, but it does give someone who's out shopping for a car loan, let's say, the freedom to have a number of lenders or dealerships pull their credit and all of that would be treated as one. So there is that piece of it. Now, why would it bring your score down, to your original question? Well, the scoring algorithm is just a function of the studies that have been done on hundreds and hundreds of credit files to determine a formula that will produce a number that indicates how likely you are to repay as agreed. And basically what that's saying is that the more credit reports they looked at, that this idea that somebody's out looking to borrow money is just one indication among many that they're a worse credit risk than somebody else. Because somebody who's not out looking to borrow money arguably is in a stronger financial position than somebody who is out looking to borrow money. Now, again, that's just one piece of, you know, hundreds of factors that make up your credit score. But nevertheless, when you have that one hard inquiry, it does pull your score down 20 or 30 points generally. Is that a big deal? It shouldn't be, because, again, you know, as long as you keep it within the 2-week period, you know, your score shouldn't be affected. And once you've gotten the loan, then it's a temporary decline. It will come back up as you have the months following where you don't have any hard inquiries. And really, the only time your credit score matters is when you're looking to get a loan, because it's at that point that you need to know, or they need to know, which, you know, where your score is and which bracket that falls into in terms of whether they're going to give you their very best rates and terms. If it's in a period where you're not out borrowing money, it doesn't really mean anything because nobody's using it for that basis. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And does it does it make a difference that I didn't accept a loan, that I went personal?
You know, no, the fact that you authorized that credit inquiry has already had the impact. It was minimal. It's temporary. It's going to come right back. And it's just based on the data that says that because you're out looking to borrow some money, or at least considering it, they're going to drop your score temporarily.
I see. When you talk about algorithms and things like that, it reminds me of 50 years ago when I took physics and calculus courses. But thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Ed. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, my friend. Let's head to Miami. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes. Good evening. My employer offers a 457 investment plan, and knowing that we will have taxes be going up in the future,
yeah.
Do you really think it's a benefit?
I do. I mean, you're right. We expect the tax rates, if they're going anywhere, are going up. We know if nothing changes, the current Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that Trump put in place that resulted in these lower tax rates we're paying now is expiring in 2025. So starting in 2026, unless somebody extends that, they're going up. Now, obviously, we've got a presidential election right around the corner. We don't know the future of the makeup of Congress. And so that's obviously something that remains to be seen. But you're right. We could expect with, some degree of reasonable analysis that that rates are headed higher. Why would you continue to contribute to a 457? Well, not only do you get the tax deferral going in, so that's excluded from your adjusted gross income, but you get the tax deferred growth. So the nice part about that is, as you're investing during your working years and you make investments and they have profits and then they're sold and it's moved into some other investment because your mutual fund manager inside your 457 is buying and selling stocks, the benefit is that, those gains are not having any kind of drag on the investments because that's inside that tax deferred environment. So 100% of the profits inside that investment are working for you, as opposed to you investing outside of that 457, you don't get the current deduction. And as you have profits along the way, you'd be paying capital gains on that. So I think for that reason, it's worth continuing to invest in it. Now, if you had a Roth option, I might do both, contribute some to the Roth and some to the traditional. The studies say that if you have both options, you're better off to go with the portion in the traditional or the tax-deferred option. You take your age and add 20 to it. So if you were 50, you'd put 70% in the traditional version and then put the balance, and in my example, 30% in a Roth version, an after-tax vehicle. But if you don't have the Roth option, then I'd put 100% in that 457 plan. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Alex. Thanks for your call today. Let me mention, folks, if you haven't checked out the FaithFi app, we'd love for you to do that. Think about this. Inside the app, there is a community of stewards that are sharing best practices, asking questions, encouraging each other on their stewardship journeys, and there's no cost to participate in that. Also, all of our broadcast archives are there, and you could also use the money management, the spending plan portion if you want. It's based on Larry Burkett's digital envelope system. It's all in the FaithFi app. Go to faithfi.com and click app. You can download it today. We'll be right back with your questions. Stay with us.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Well, it's November, and you know what that means. Time for Operation Christmas Child. That's right, here at American Family Radio, we're delighted to partner once again with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. We're coming up on National Collection Week. In fact, pack your shoebox now with any standard size shoebox and drop it off during the third week of November, which is Collection Week. This year, that's November 13th through the 20th. And shoeboxes will be collected across the country at more than 4,500 drop-off locations. If you'd like to learn more or check it out online, just go to samaritanspurse.org/OCC. It's Operation Christmas Child now through November the 20th. Let's head right back to the phones to Greenbelt, Maryland. Susan, go right ahead. How can we help?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm 55. I make about $85,000 a year, and I own my own home, only about 6 years in, so still a lot, high balance left. I don't have, well, during the COVID issue, I did have a couple of debts that ran up on me, which I'm paying them off. And I have a 23-year-old autistic son. So my question is, one, how do I and how can I retire? Or how can I prepare myself with this where I am now? And how do I make preparations for my son? How can I set things up for him to be okay?
Yes, very good. Well, a couple of thoughts here, Susan. So retirement is, you think, I mean, you know, if you have the option, what, about 10 years away potentially?
Yes.
Okay. And you still have a mortgage. Did you say you don't have any retirement savings currently, correct?
Correct.
All right.
But I do have a IRA with about $6,000 in there.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what percent of your income?
Maybe about I put about $200 to $300 every 2 weeks, and it currently has about $6,000.
Okay, got it. And do they match any portion of that?
They do.
Okay, and do you know how much they match up to a certain percentage?
I think it's 1%.
Okay. And if you were to, well, for instance, let me ask you, do you have anything left over at the end of the month?
Not really, but once I pay off the debt, then I will.
Okay. And when will that be?
Maybe by next year.
Okay. All right. Very good. And how much could you add to it at that point?
Maybe another $400 or $500.
Okay. All right. You know, here's the thing, you know, with $6,000 today, if you were to add $600 a month, cause you said $300 every paycheck, to this account, and it were to grow, let's just say it grew at 8% a year, you'd have about $125,000, in 10 years when you get to age 65. And what we would expect is that if you had that $125,000, and I'm not counting on this going up next year either. So, you know, let's say you'd have $150,000 because you could put an extra $300 a month in. But let's just take the $125,000 for a second. You know, we would probably say typically you'd want to pull out no more than 4% a year. So that would give you an extra $5,000 a year. Or about $415 a month. So the question to start with is, before we talk about your special needs son, you know, is Social Security plus $400 a month enough for you to cover your bills in retirement if you're no longer working? Do you know what you should receive at full retirement age? Have you looked at your Social Security benefit statement?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so that would be a good thing to do. You could go to ssa.gov and log into your account to MySSA, and it will tell you that just based on, you know, your current work record and projecting, you know, what you will do over the next 10 years if you continue to pay FICA taxes based on the income you've been receiving lately, it'll tell you what your monthly benefit will be at full retirement age, which is probably age 66 or 67. And at that point, you would be able to say, okay, I at least know I'm going to receive this amount every month. And then if you add $400 to it, then, you know, the question is, can you build your budget around that? And at least then you would know if you do nothing more than what you're doing right now, putting in $600 a month into your retirement plan, you've already got $6,000 there. You're going to really focus as soon as that debt's paid off of, you know, bumping that up instead of $600 a month or $300 every pay period, you know, to maybe $400 or $500 a pay period. That's going to put $1,000 a month in there. You know, that would all of a sudden make a big difference because now, you know, if you grew that at 8% a year, you'd have about $200,000 in there. And instead of $400 a month, you know, you could pull out about $8,000 a year, you know, or about $650 a month. So I think that's the kind of planning you need to do and really looking at what your budget will be in retirement and trying to just sock away as much as you can over this next decade. The other thing you can do would be to try to cut your expenses and put more in. The other thing you could do is work longer. So instead of retiring at 65, maybe you try to wait till 70. And actually, if you did that, your Social Security check would be about 24% higher every month, and it would give you an extra, let's say, 5 years to continue, you know, to build up your retirement nest egg. So instead of 10 years, you'd have 15 years, and now all of a sudden, you know, just with that $600 a month, you know, you've got $225,000 in there. So these are the kinds of things you need to do. Now, the other thing you need to do is go visit with an estate planning attorney who can help you put your estate documents in place so that your whatever you build up in terms of your nest egg could be left as a beneficiary to, let's say, a special needs trust, which would then be there to provide for your son and wouldn't affect his ability to earn or collect government assistance. So that asset would not in any way impede him from getting the assistance from the government, but he could use it for his care or somebody could use it on his behalf. But that would mean that you have to visit with an attorney who understands that and could set up a special needs trust for his benefit. Does that all make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, good. So I think this is the right direction. The only other thing I might suggest is you connect with a certified Kingdom advisor. Somebody who can help you do, we're just spending about 3 minutes together here today, but somebody who could spend some real time with you, do some retirement projections, help you plan for what you're ultimately going to need in terms of a retirement savings goal, help you match that up with how many years you plan to work, and even connect you with a godly estate planning attorney. If you want a certified Kingdom advisor, just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and just click find a CKA, and you can look for one right there in Maryland. I hope that's helpful to you, Susan. Thanks for your call today, and may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye. To Kenosha, Wisconsin. Hi, Sam. Go ahead.
Hi. I was just curious if you had any thoughts or opinions on my wife and I are wondering if we should tithe or whatever amount we want to give before or after tax.
Yeah. You know, the late Larry Burkett used to say, kind of tongue in cheek, well, it depends on whether you want to be blessed, gross or net. And he would say that, in kind of a joking way, but in some respects not, in the sense that, if we go back to the principle of the tithe and look at the Old Testament law, they were giving off of their increase. They didn't deduct out the cost of the grain or take anything out of it. It was on the first fruits. And I think the most equivalent to that would be you tithing on the gross before anything comes out. It's just a recognition of God's ownership of everything and a demonstration that you're going to put him first. That would be the approach that I would encourage you to take. But again, this is not between me and you. It's between you and the Lord. And so I would ultimately make this a matter of prayer, but that's at least my thoughts on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thanks so much.
All right, Sam. God bless you, bud. Let's finish up in Orlando, Florida today. Hi, Alice. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I wanted to know where I can tell my son and his wife to go for budgeting assistance.
Yeah. So let me give you a website. It's actually a part of our website. We recommend something called a certified Christian financial counselor. And these are men and women who've been trained to do exactly what you're describing. They provide help with relational issues around money, money and marriage, budgeting help, getting out of debt. It's really for those folks who are not ready for a certified Kingdom advisor, a professional, but they need somebody who are trained, somebody who's trained in biblical financial wisdom and really specializes in these types of issues, primarily budgeting, like you're describing. You'll see a list of our first dozen certified Christian financial counselors on our website. If you've got a pen handy, it's faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com/cert, C-E-R-T, C-F-C. That's is short for Certified Christian Financial Counselor, CERT, C-F-C. So again, that website is faithfi.com/CERT, C-F-C. And that will take you to a listing of the men and women who have the Certified Christian Financial Counselor designation. And any of those folks on that webpage will be able to help you with budgeting. And you'll just want to have them look through them and contact the one that seems like the best fit, okay?
Excellent. Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, Alice. Thanks so much for your call today. By the way, folks, again, this is a great resource. It's one of the newest offerings. We're just now in the process of building out our listing of certified Christian financial counselors. We see a day in the near future where there's dozens and eventually hundreds of certified Christian financial counselors all over the country to serve you all who don't need a certified Kingdom advisor quite yet, but you need help with debt reduction, credit reports, and budgeting. Just go to faithfi.com/CFC. Hey, if you'd like to support our work, this is a critical time for us. You can give online quickly and securely at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's going to do it for us today, folks. On behalf of my team, Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Robert Youngblood, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Enjoy the rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll look for you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.